The second critical mission, I think, for us at USDA this year is to manage the blending of energy and agriculture. As we see agriculture come together here with energy, that's providing tremendous opportunities in the agriculture arena. And you all know about the, you know, about the increase in activity in agriculturally generated biomass energy. And, you know, that's very important for us. And I'll just give you one example. If we, over the next 10 years, could convert one-fourth of the foreign oil that we import into this country, we import about 4 billion barrels, a little more. If we could convert one-fourth of that, 1 billion barrels of petrol fuels into biofuels in the United States of America today, not only would it increase the security of our country, it would double farm income in the United States of America. And you can imagine if we doubled farm income in this country, what a revitalization would take place in rural areas. The farms and the ranches, the farming communities, the rural neighborhoods, the small counties, you know, just see a huge influx in economic activity. So not only do we provide better security for our country, but we reshape the economy. And all of a sudden now, as things used to trickle out of the cities into farm country, like telephones and electricity and televisions and things like that, now we'll be generating energy in farm country and letting it trickle into the cities. And, you know, that kind of changes the dynamics and fundamentals in this country. And we're excited about that. And it is an exciting time indeed to be at USDA when we get the chance to do this. So we have to set the course at USDA to manage this merging. And that means we have to gear up our laboratories. We have to change the thinking of our folks. We have to look at policies that move us in the proper direction. We have to generate the national conversations on food and fuel and feed and all the issues that come along with this. You know, we're in the forefront of this at USDA, and we'll have to be, you know, shaping our department in total so that we can manage this merge of energy and agriculture.
Mr. Secretary, what would be your advice, or what is your advice to the President, and if the Congress asked, what would be advice to them regarding the use of corn for fuel as it pertains to food costs, as it pertains to energy, and this directive that you'd like to see us go in terms of agriculture? Is it time to throw ethanol under the bus? Is it time to support the livestock industry more? What's your advice in these circumstances?
Well, we recognize that as we move into, for many, many reasons, renewable fuels in this country, not the least of which is economic and domestic security, we're going to see some times of change. We need to remember that only about 25% of the corn crop goes into ethanol today, and we've been able to stay ahead of that by yield increases. So we're not pulling corn out of the marketplace for ethanol. And I think, you know, today when we see these issues, the pricing and the feed, pricing and food, you know, coming and stretching budgets and causing economic operational problems, we have to find out where it's coming from. And we have to make sure that happens. You know, a lot of economists, and we hear it in the news today often, that we see this perfect storm coming together. And that storm is identified as increased consumption, as energy prices, as biofuel generation, some other thing, weather patterns in Europe and our Argentina and Australia, where we haven't had good crops lately. You know, all those have come together to form this huge pressure on feed and food costs. I don't think it's a perfect storm. I think we have to make sure that we don't think that it's a storm here, because when you have a storm and you're out in the calm seas, you know, you have this storm that jumbles everything up for a while, and then the storm goes away and the sea comes back at the same level and becomes flat again. The reality here is consumption. And as consumption has increased in huge nations, in China and in India, we are just simply seeing an increased level of consumption that we have to take into consideration. And so we're not going to fall back to other levels. What the hard reality is here in the world today is our yields are not keeping up with consumption. And while we can point in the United States today of great yields, if you look at the rest of the world, the yields are not getting where we need to be. So we need to focus on increasing yield opportunities around this world if we're going to meet the food demands of the world in the future. We can't let that go by. That said, we also have huge energy situations here that are causing inflation in petrochemicals, in fertilizers, in transportation costs, etc. And I would remind us that energy being a factor here is a huge deal. We're looking at a 4 to 5% inflation rate in food in the United States this year in general. Internationally, we're looking at 40% increase. You look at that 40% increase, and it's driven by a lot of energy costs. It's driven by low yields. It's driven by bad weather. You know, many things across the globe. So what's happening in the United States today is not affecting global food prices to the extent that people are talking about. It is an element, but it is not the element. The final thing I'll say on that, I'm sorry, I know your radio guys want 30-second sound bites, but I can't do that. Here's the importance of ethanol today. We've passed renewable fuel standards in this country that are important, that protect our domestic supply for security reasons, that protect the environment, that move us in a lot of directions where we need to go as a country. We cannot meet those demands with corn-driven ethanol as a feedstock. But ethanol is a stepping stone to get us where we need to be. And as we develop the woody biomass generations, as we present the marketplace with alternative feedstocks and let the marketplace and price start to develop the pricing structures out there, those alternative feedstocks are very, very important. But if we're going to meet the renewable fuel standards, we have to make sure that we continue to build capacity in this country in production. We have to make sure that we develop our infrastructure delivery capability so that when the biomasses and the woody fuels or the woody biomasses come online, we have the capacity to generate what we need to make the renewable fuel standards. So it's a stepping stone to get there. If we pull it back, we can do all the research in the world and come up with new ideas for alternative feedstocks, and you won't be able to do anything with them. So we need to make sure that we step forward here and continue to develop the ethanol industry based on a corn feedstock so that we get to the long-term issue of where we need to be with woody biomass and enough capacity to get it done.
Does that mean you throw corn ethanol under the bus after the cellulosic ethanol comes online?
Absolutely not. What happens is you have then yellow corn as a feedstock. You have new growth trees, wood chips, wheat straw, switchgrass. You've got alternative feedstocks. And when you have alternative feedstocks, being a free market type guy, you know, what happens is the marketplace chooses the feedstock. The marketplace sets the price. That's what drives the economy in this country. That's what made this country great. That's what we need to do, is not throw one under the bus or choose one over the other. We need to provide the marketplace with the opportunities to sort it out. Yeah.